always been fascinated with it. And I've got a lot of responses since I posted this on social media saying, I want to be here, tell me more. And some questions also for my guest, who we're going to bring on in just a bit. But today we're talking about how hypnotherapy works, why it has helped so many people with different types of trauma, PTSD, anxiety, depression, everything that goes with that. And you'll also hear my special guest describe many of the shocking experiences that individuals have repressed in their subconscious memories and have shared with her memories of being taken, possibly in ET abductions, other close encounter experiences, and other traumatic events that have happened to them in their life. Let me just say this first. After my interviews with credible whistleblowers who were former intelligence officers, different military officials, I've heard a lot about this subject. Also, if you've been following the recent congressional hearings, the Senate committee, where they've been getting information from whistleblowers about ETs, UAPs, non-human, as David Grush says, biologics, you'll understand how my special guest, Yvonne Smith, fits in with all of this. So let's bring her on right now. Yvonne, hello.
Good morning. How are you, Michelle? Thank you for having me on.
Oh, it's so great to finally have you on the show. And I've been really looking forward to this interview because I have such respect for you and your work and everything you've done to help people. I have read and spoken to people who have worked with you, and they can't give enough praise saying, this woman helped me understand why I've had such hidden trauma for so long. Gosh.
Yes.
But anyway, I'm just fascinated with your journey working as a hypnotherapist. So can you just briefly share with viewers and listeners how you got started in the field and just sort of segued into your current focus of attention?
You know, that question is always so hard for me to answer. Sure. And I never knew why, but the late 80s, my mother asked me to go to the, at the time, Whole Life Expo with her. Those were held all over the country.
Right.
And there was, this one was right near our home in Pasadena, California. So I went, you know, we went together, and she knew who Bud Hopkins was, who's, and people don't know, he's considered the pioneer of abduction research.
Yes.
And I didn't really know who he was, but we went to his lecture. This is the late 80s.
Right.
And I, all of a sudden, I was fascinated by what he was talking about. He showed slides, he showed drawings from his clients, the abductees, experiencers, and later we stood in line, asked him some questions. He was very gracious, always, you know, he always was, always accepted everyone's questions. And from there, I thought, I have to know more about this. And then I looked into hypnotherapy colleges. Now, in hypnotherapy, I know you know there's so many reasons to use it, and it's so helpful. But at the time, I was going to work with cancer patients because my a very close uncle of mine died not too long ago. He was 41 years old, cancer. He was more like my big brother. So I went to hypnotherapy college, did all that, you know, opened up my practice in 1991. But now I feel, I could actually say the reason I'm doing this work now is because I was directed to do it.
Wow.
Now, I couldn't say this 20 plus years ago because it felt so woo-woo, you know, and I thought, but you know what, now, as you get older, Michelle, you just don't give a damn what people think about you,
you
know?
I hear you.
I figure people think I've lost it. That's okay.
Oh, but all right.
I feel that I was placed on this path to work with abduction cases. I've been doing this now for 35 years.
Yes.
And I'm busier than ever. I mean,
I can imagine.
I should be at my age. I should be retired, right?
Yeah.
I think that. I think, oh, you know, I should retire. I get busier. So
yes.
The universe is telling me, yes. No. You're
right.
Not going anywhere. So I'm still doing my work. I'm still doing private sessions. But I'm also teaching, since 2021, I'm also teaching established therapists who want to do this work.
Yes.
Teach workshops. Try to do it once or twice a year. I want to set one up in August. Because, of course, you know, I'm getting older. I can't do this forever. And I began feeling, oh, my God, where are these people going to go?
Sure.
So I like to establish abduction therapists throughout the United States as well as other countries.
That's wonderful.
As you know, Michelle, it's a worldwide phenomenon.
Yes, it is. Of course. Well, and I think people are becoming more aware of it with the so-called disclosure of what's going on. You know, the Pentagon's releasing the videos now, and you know, it's an iffy thing. And there's still a lot of people, and I know that you've encountered them as well. Probably not at the Contact in the Desert venue, but folks that say, "Oh yeah, the little green men, give me a break," or something.
Oh, yeah. Like,
you know, okay, that's fine. I am not. I'm just saying what I've heard, and people as you in your life for 25 plus years have found out there's something definitely to this. I mean, my God, what was the first, back in 1961, Betty and Barney Hill were the first publicly known abductees, right? And they were both hypnotized, thank you very much, and scrutinized and put under several lie detector tests to really define, are these people telling the truth? Which has come out that, of course, they were. And, of course, so many of the other experiences. Of course, we have a movie now. Spielberg's come out with a disclosure movie and blah, blah, whatever. But a lot of people are saying, it's just a movie and it's not real. Okay, that's fine, too.
Right.
You're right. As you said, you don't give a darn after.
That's the thing is I wouldn't be doing this over 3 decades if I didn't feel there was something to this. If I felt, you know, the stories are different and I wouldn't have devoted all my years to this, but there are so many similarities that run through each case. And these people still don't know each other. I work with many people in other countries. They're talking about the same thing, same similarities.
Right.
So, you know, we don't know what the end game is yet. We don't know what their agenda is. All I know is what I've come up with in my research over the years is that I feel the hybridization program is central to what they're doing. So
that's fascinating to me because I know. I'm so glad you brought that up because a lot of people, again, they're like, no, whoa, this is, but folks out there, if you have questions, by the way, let's talk to the expert. If you have any questions, I may not get to many of them. You can always email me at the LA Talk Radio, straighttalkdoc@gmail.com is what it is during the interview. We're live. So if you want to have a question here, go ahead and put it out there. We'll see if we can answer it. And if not, just hang with us and we're going to find out more about all this information. Before we even get started, though, really getting into the weeds here, I want to let people know you have a new book coming out right now.
Yes.
And
It was just published, just came out before Contact in the Desert.
Perfect.
It's now live on Amazon. And I think this is really important. It's called the CIRO book. CIRO is my support group, Close Encounter Resource Organization, that I established 34 years ago. It's called the Anatomy of an Alien Abduction Support Group, Healing a Hidden Life. So there's several members in here, I believe maybe a dozen, who wrote their own chapters, talking about what happened to them, talking about how it's affected their life, has affected their families. And of course, it is a intergenerational experience. So family members will also be affected by this experience.
Isn't that fascinating, you found out? My gosh. Wow.
So we've been working on this book for a while now, at least a couple of years, and I was so pleased. I'm going to be starting to work on volume two because I have so many serial members across the country and in other countries as well. So I want everybody to have a chance to write their chapters and share with the public what has been happening to them.
Oh. That is lovely that you're going to do that. I can't wait to read your book. Also, I loved your earlier book, Yvonne Chosen. Yes. It's called Chosen, From the Alien Hybrid Program to the Fate of the Planet. Way ahead of our time, way ahead of most people's awareness, but it's an incredible book as well. If you folks want to learn more about what's going on and what Yvonne Smith revealed or what her patients revealed in these hypnotherapy sessions, you've got to check that out. Well, it's on Amazon. Everything's on Amazon. Just Google it. And also we'll tell you how you can get in touch with Yvonne at the end of the show as well. So I love all your great stuff. Could we just first clear up some of the misconceptions about hypnotherapy? I mean, I just want to get this out of the way because I have people coming to me who say, I don't want to be quacking like a duck or say something that's going to embarrass me.
Right.
I may make something up and just to fool the therapist. I mean, you know, I don't want anyone to control my mind. Let's clear up some of those stupid.
I like to clear up a lot of these, misconceptions. People have so many different ideas, and it is scary to people thinking, oh my God, she's going to control my mind. I explain this during consultations with my new clients. I explain this before we go into hypnosis during the session, where you're not going to feel unconscious or blacked out.
Right.
You're going to be aware of really things around you, because we are going to be going into your subconscious mind, which is the stronger part of our mind. Right now, I'm talking to your conscious mind, which makes up 12% of mind power. Then we go into the subconscious, which makes up 80% of the mind power. So it's like a little computer within all of us. We have memories registered. We don't even remember. And the important part of the subconscious mind is to protect us. It protects us whenever we go through any type of trauma, whatever it is. And alien abduction is no different. It causes trauma. It causes PTSD. And so it's important to, remember that you're not going to be you're going to be aware, because we're dealing with the stronger part of the mind. It's important to not analyze what's coming through, not question, which is very normal. That area of our mind between the conscious and subconscious, the critical area of mind, we're going to push aside. That's the part of our mind, all of us will go, I'm just making this up. Oh my God, I can't tell her this. She's going to think I'm crazy.
Right.
And I tell my clients, I said, something that you think sounds crazy, I may have heard it hundreds of times.
Lovely.
So I give my clients at the end of the session a little bit of confirmation to give them a little bit of knowing that they did not make anything up. If I tell them, look, I've been doing this many years, I've had thousands of clients, and I've heard this before. I mean, and when I tell them people that, they're amazed, because we're going into the unknown. So, even though I know the similarities and the patterns of the experience, I have to keep my mind open to something I may have not heard before.
Right.
So,
right.
But it's a process. It's a process. People come to me after sometimes 40 years ago, they saw something strange in the skies, or they had missing time. And at that time, they didn't know where to go. They, you know, who do you talk to about this? Nice. So it's a process. And to tell the audience here is this experience starts in very early childhood and will follow the person throughout their life. It is a lifelong experience. And as I mentioned before, it does affect other family members. So it's intergenerational.
Sure.
It may lay dormant for a year or more, but it will pick up again for whatever reason. You know, like I said, we still don't know the, you know, the end game, their ultimate plan here. So,
right. Sure. Wow. Now, Yvonne, when we're sleeping and we're dreaming, that's our subconscious at work. What I understand, it's, you know, kind of working like a computer. It's downloading information and it's allowing us, because we are in maybe a delta or a REM or even a theta state of brain, which are relaxed, allowing these subconscious memories to sort of come to fruition. And also, you know, there's a certain type of dreaming that people remember, who I have spoken to from their childhoods, who have these little flashbacks of these repetitious dreams, right? So go ahead. I'm sorry.
So, no, that's okay. When someone has a one of those repetitious dreams, it is something that the subconscious is processing. It's something that the subconscious wants them to say, look into, to explore. Mm-hmm. And so those repetitive dreams could be, you know, a red flag. And also, when people come to me and they've said, say a married couple, they have the same dream. That's another red flag. People don't have the same dream unless your life script is exactly the same in your subconscious, which, you know, doesn't happen. So when they tell me they have the same dream, and this happens quite a bit, that's when I think, okay, there's something that's going on here. Right. But I never lead clients into anything. You know, we just, when they decide they're going to book sessions and try to explore, then, you know, as information comes forward, I'll give them confirmation.
Absolutely.
So they feel like they're not alone, or they're not making this up, because that's a that's a concern with so many people, that they're making something up, you know, which is understandable.
Sure it is. Absolutely. And I know I've had folks say, you know, I don't want to get a heart attack while I'm experiencing something horrific. And I know after 30 plus years, you know how to manage that and help them.
It's actually... you're going to be in a state of relaxation, and even though you may come across, because people do relive their experience, a trained, well-trained hypnotherapist will give them suggestions to process and verbalize what's happening without feeling the fear or the pain. Important is to bring up the information, get this out of the subconscious, bring it up. Because they've been, you know, it's been suppressed for so long. And that's what's causing the illnesses, the PTSD. And I have so many people tell me, you know, they were so afraid of anticipation. They were so afraid to do this because thinking, you know, oh, my God, yeah, what if I have a heart attack or what?
Right.
People have told me, oh, my God, I was really afraid of this, but why did I wait so long? You know, because they were able to sleep afterwards, and, you know, it just, I'm trying to teach them as a therapist, number one, is to incorporate this into their everyday lives, you know, which can be very difficult. So, like I said, you can't just talk to anybody about this, but it is getting better than from when I started 35 years ago. It is getting better with now. It started getting better with our pilots coming out and saying, we saw this thing flying around our airspace.
Right.
That was the first thing. Nobody paid attention. It was on all the news channels.
Sure.
And now with, okay, we've got these files coming out every 2 weeks.
Yes.
That is helping.
Sure.
I did see Disclosure Day, Steven Spielberg.
I haven't
I wasn't
yet.
sure, but I think it's to, I think it without spoiling it for anybody, I think he did the abductees experiencers some justice.
Yes,
finally.
I heard that. Yes,
out,
finally.
You know, in the Hollywood movie. So I encourage people to see it. People that have not had this experience are not going to understand
sure
the whole concept, the whole movie of what they're talking about.
Yes.
But I think he did us justice, and I thank him. I thank
sure
him for doing this.
Oh, it was amazing. Some of the people I work with, you know, in entertainment and who know him say, oh, he's been into this forever. And
oh, yeah. Well, you know what? When people have a keen interest in this subject, there's
yeah
usually a good reason for it.
That's something that I'm finding with a lot of people who are patients of mine who talk about their trauma, and they do have these repeated experiences they share. And look, you know, Yvonne, I've worked in psychiatric hospitals and in clinics.
Yeah.
But these are not people who are psychiatric.
Right, exactly.
Severe schizophrenia, you know, anything like these are
really exactly
with issues, normal relationship, family.
Normal people. And the advantage I have as a hypnotherapist, I'm the last person they come see.
Yes.
They've been 2 years of traditional therapy, medication, and there's still that area that's causing them PTSD.
Right.
So I get, you know, over the years I've received referrals from doctors, you know,
oh, yeah,
therapists, psychiatrists,
yes,
because they work with their patients, yet they're not able
yes
to tap into this. And back then, in the early 90s, a traditional therapist didn't want to even work with this.
No.
But now, as I mentioned, I've been teaching in workshops for the last 5 years.
Yeah.
Two therapists who are serious about incorporating abduction cases into their practice, which is very, very important.
Sure.
We need the help. I mean, there's millions of people out there.
Well, it's true. And then, you know, there are people who have seen scary movies when they're young or whatever, incorporated those things into their dreams. Indeed, there are always exceptions to many situations and people how they report their experiences. But what I was interested in, I know you for a long time were so, and you still are, lovingly helping veterans who had severe PTSD and other individuals who were mm-hmm assaulted or grew up in disadvantaged homes, who were suffering from so much trauma. You were and still are such a loving therapist and hypnotherapist. And I'm fascinated with the moment or the time that some of these revelations started coming out from people when they were relaxed and under a nice, you know, hypnosis vibe about them being taken or, as we call them, experiencers or, you know, being abducted. What
yeah
were some of the situations that you went, what? Or how that came about?
Yeah. Well, before I even booked someone for a regression session, they send me their questionnaires. I sent them two questionnaires to look through, fill out. One's a life history questionnaire. Then I schedule a consultation, which involves no hypnosis whatsoever. So
sure
there is when I am able to get an idea of what right has been happening throughout their life. If I did not hear something that, you know, whatever their PTSD caused, and it
right
did not sound familiar to me, did not have the pattern
yes
similarity, I tell them, you know, I don't think this falls in line with, you
yes
know, with being yeah taken with an abduction, but very, very seldom has that happened.
Right.
Like I said, they're the last person they come to. I'm the last kid on the block. Like,
that's right.
Oh my God. You know? So by the time they get to me and they're, you know, they're explaining what happened in childhood experiences. Now, if their childhood memories or recurring dreams or nightmares were caused by something like a horror movie, similarities would not be there. The patterns would not be there if it was caused by movies.
Right.
So that's what I listen for. And like I said, it's a process before they even come in to have a regression session.
Mm-hmm. You're a scientist. You took thousands of hours of study time in one of the nation's, well, it's probably the top hypnotherapy college. You've done it. You did it. You paid your dues.
Back then, really, I was very fortunate to go to hypnotherapy college I was able to drive to rather than I had to fly into.
Yes.
So it was a Hypnosis Motivation Institute in the San Fernando Valley. And that was a long, long time ago. Now, you know, as everybody, they're teaching classes online and so forth, but that wasn't happening. When I started my practice, we were just barely getting into emailing.
Right.
So everything was still good by snail mail and phone calls. And now, my gosh, who was to think that I'm on a Zoom call with somebody in England? You know, it's just amazing, amazing to me.
Oh, speaking about England, I want to thank the lovely Ian for referring me to talk with you, and also Linda Moulton Howe, who I had a chance to have a lovely conversation with at the Conscious Life Expo this past couple of months.
Okay.
They love you, and I respect them so much. And so many other people who have talked about you and your work, especially those who attended the Contact in the Desert here just recently with your workshops and your lectures were just wonderful. What I was wondering, you're welcome. What are some of the most fascinating hypnotherapy sessions that stand out in your mind that you experienced with some of your patients?
Well, you know, they all stand out really, because I said there's so many similarities. I'm almost waiting for them. You know, I'm always waiting to hear it.
Yeah.
What put this on the map for me is early 90s. I started working with two brothers. Mm-hmm. The case is in my book, Chosen, the case of John and Jesse Long when they were 4 and 5 years old. Oh. I worked with Jesse here when he lived here. He was in the entertainment industry. Oh. So I was able to do in-person sessions with him. His brother still lived in Tennessee. When this happened to them as little boys, they were in Tennessee.
Yes.
So finally, John had no interest in doing any kind of hypnosis. He didn't have any interest in UFOs. But finally, he knew that his brother was seeing me. But of course, Jesse never disclosed what came out in the session to keep the session pure and uncontaminated.
Yeah.
John finally called Jesse at the time, mid-90s, and said, okay, you know, let's see if anything's to this. He decided he was going to go into hypnosis. So the family flew me out there, Jesse and I. I did a couple of hypnosis sessions with John, and what came out was incredible to me. The conscious memories were the same. When they were inside the craft were the same. The screen memory, and that's where people will say, oh, there was a deer staring in my window, you know.
Right.
And we know that deer are pretty skittish, and they don't usually get too close, you know, to people.
Right.
Or there was an owl outside my window. So the screen memory came up.
Yes.
Well, after we did the sessions with John, and I did tell him, I said, okay, that, you know, you both were taken as children, and there's so much to this case that I can't even talk about this. We don't have enough time, but it's so many details in this case.
Read the book. Read the book.
I showed the Encounter Show, if everybody remembers the Encounter Show in the 90s. They put together a terrific segment. And I showed it at my lecture this year, Contact in the Desert, because the way they put it together, I couldn't even explain it. It would take me an hour to explain it.
Right.
So I still have it. I still show it because I think it's very important to show that this yeah. happens to multiple witnesses.
Yes.
You know, more than one person. And speaking of that, my third book is Coronado. It's about a mass abduction on Coronado Island in San Diego that yes. happened in March of 1994. This is about a dozen of my serial members were taken during the course of a UFO conference, and I was the MC of that conference. So it's a very interesting case. It's in the second edition now on Amazon. So the Jesse and John case, that was my first double abduction case. And when I flew back home, I realized, oh my God, this is real. This is right. real. And that was it. You know, that was it. Because it was just Jesse and John, so honest. And
oh my God,
they still, I keep in touch with them after all these years. So, and that's how people are who have had this experience. They're just regular people. I mean, your neighbors, your family members, your coworkers. It is so widespread that I think the general public, who never thought about this or thinks, oh, they're you know, this isn't right. real or right. can't be real, they yeah. would be amazed at who is affected by this.
Yes.
All walks of life.
Yes.
A cross section of any community.
Yes.
Rich, poor, professional, not professional, famous people, not famous people. I mean, it can affect anyone at any time.
Yes, it can. And I think, as you mentioned, you know, a lot of people, they're not going to share it with even their friends because they're going to worry
that
they are going to lose friends, or there may be a family yeah. member, one really cool auntie or a grandma or someone who
right,
says,
right.
I believe you. You know, well, I
oh, yeah.
that too, you know, when the
yeah.
grandma or auntie reveals that, then you feel safe. But otherwise, people yeah. will make fun of you.
But like I mentioned, it's getting better than when I first started my work.
Yes,
it's getting better now.
Oh, my
people
goodness.
Are feeling a little bit more comfortable.
Sure.
Coming out and saying, I think this happened to me, or I think this happened
right.
to me and my sister, because it was very difficult back in the early 90s, late 80s, early 90s. And can you imagine in the 60s with Betty and Barney Hill and even Antonio Boas Villas in South America? He was
yes.
taken aboard.
Oh, my God.
When he was out on the field. So, I mean, there was nothing, you know, there was no reference to this. I mean
yeah.
there weren't books out there, there weren't documentaries, you know, at no. that time, but these cases were very early cases of being taken
right.
on board,
right? Exactly. And again, it's some of these people's memories who I have worked with, and I don't do hypnotherapy, but by the way, the school is still alive and well here in the San Fernando Valley. So I may look into that.
Yeah.
I'll be one
yeah.
of your students, but it's amazing how, you know, people are coming out about it and talking about it and telling me some of these experiences and your analysis. Because you know and have heard the repetitious story, you can kind of single out those who may be fabricating, not on purpose necessarily, but trying to create something to make sense of possibly trauma
yes.
in the past in their family. They were sexually abused or abducted by a parent
yes.
or something like that. So you can really filter through that.
Yeah, and I could tell, you know, I could tell in the intake forms, you know, when I read through them,
sure.
I review them.
Yeah.
But like I said, because mainly most of the people have been through the traditional therapy, if they were, there's people who've been abducted that were sexually abused
yeah.
by as children and not, and people
right.
who were not.
Right.
But they, the ones that were abused, they were ready work through that with their therapist, and presently still work through that in many cases.
Sure.
So
exactly.
Yeah, I do separate that, and I realize, okay, there's still something here, and their therapists know that as well.
Yeah, sure they do. And I love the process you go through to help individuals really understand that this is research. This is information you've gathered for years, and you're not jumping to any conclusions. You listen very carefully, and pretty much know that there's something to this, as you mentioned, with the two brothers at the beginning that just fascinated you when you really first got into it. Maybe you can describe some of the most fascinating experiences that some people have told you. You've mentioned several times, well, people remember going on board the ship. What is that about?
Yeah, many times they're taken by, we call them in the 90s, bedroom visitations. You know, you're in your home reading a book or watching TV, and then all of a sudden a bright blue-white light comes in your window. You're rendered paralyzed.
Right.
Then there's a blackout period. They don't remember anything after that. Mm-hmm. They think, you know, I felt there was something there and I saw something in my room. Uh-huh. You know, it just depends. When I get them into regression, they will say, eventually they'll say, I'm no longer in my bedroom. And then so I'll ask them to describe their surroundings. And then it's like they're in this room, very brightly lit most of the time. I ask them to look around. Do they see windows? What are in the corners of the room? Mm-hmm. And they'll hesitate, and you look around, and then they'll tell me it's round. There are no corners. I don't see corners. Mm-hmm. Then they're escorted down a very curved hallway. Now these are the similarities that I'm talking about.
Yes.
Sometimes they feel the escorts here. Sometimes they don't. They feel like a being or somebody's in front of them or one's behind them. They pass other rooms as they're walking in the hallway, and then they're escorted into a room, and usually it's an examination room. They feel like they see beings working around the room as if they're preparing for surgery, you know?
Right.
And of course, at this time, it's a little unnerving, like, you know, what is going to happen?
Yeah.
And they don't know what's going on. And
right.
So those are the similarities as they get on the craft. Mm-hmm. I'll ask them, you know, how does it feel? Many of them are barefoot because they've been taken from their bedroom. And they'll tell me it feels really slick underneath their feet. Or some of them will say, I don't feel that I'm stepping on anything. So they could be levitated a little bit. So, you know, those are the similarities that I've heard over the years as people will tell me I'm no longer in my bedroom or I'm no longer in my car. People are taken out of their car.
Right.
And that's what they discover later, that they had 1 or 2 hours missing, and they don't remember over the years what happened to them. Sometimes the entire car gets taken up there with them.
I've heard this.
They'll describe being taken out of the car, and they're in this huge, they'll describe it as an airplane hangar feel because it's so huge, and they'll see maybe some craft, you know, flying saucers, smaller ones. So it just, you know, you have to ask the questions very carefully, but eventually, you know, things come forward, and I have to be prepared for, you know, anything that comes up.
Sure.
But those are the similarities that people will describe at in the beginning of the abduction, but there's blackout period usually. They say that they don't remember actually being taken from their car or taken from their home, but the next thing they realize they're not in their home anymore. You know, they're not in their car.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Amazing and fascinating, as evidenced by, I mean, countless individuals who are very high profile in social media, have written countless books, have taken so many lie detector tests and been hypnotized. I was just watching Travis Walton. He's a quite a bit older gentleman right now. He's the, you know, from the movie, what was that? There you go, from that movie, which he said was fabricated, and it wasn't, it was scary, but it wasn't as horrific as they have.
I've known Travis since I've been in the field, and I was invited to the screening of that movie, and it was the abduction part of it is when he got into the craft. It was it had no similarity at all that I had found, but you know, and he was disappointed, but you know, that's what happens when Hollywood hold of it, and they have to, you know, it's sensationalized and so forth. You know, he wanted to do what I believe the documentary about him is really based on fact, really based on what he experienced. Jennifer Stein, I believe, produced it and directed it. So it went you know, several years ago.
She was a good job.
The case was fascinating. I mean, that case where he was gone for 5 days and he had all those witnesses. I mean, it just, and they didn't make all that up.
No. And boy, they had a lot of, I mean, they were all given 4 different lie detector tests. They all passed, really. They had that one that was a little iffy, but he actually passed all 4 as well. But
they all did. And so, you know, if that doesn't convince people, but you know, I'm never, I don't worry about convincing anybody. Talk about the, you know, these are the facts. This is what happens. You know, take it or leave it, but if that if something like that happens to them or a family member, you know, they're going to do, like I said, this is very, very widespread.
Yes. And you can just, I mean, anybody can Google and or watch on YouTube interviews or go on Gaia. I love Gaia. The Chris Bledsoe story. I mean, he's just a loving, sweet, salt of the earth soul. I mean,
yeah, he was there. He was there to contact him in the desert.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, he did his lectures, and it was a. I recommend if you were not able to make it, anybody out there, you know, try to make it next year because it's the biggest conference in the world, and it was well attended. And it's, you know, interesting speakers and a banquet, and it's just 5 days, and so I recommend it. And book your hotel early because they get really booked.
They really do. And you know, we're not getting anything out of this financially. It's just if you are interested in the subject, and you, I mean, the panel, including you, of course, amazing lectures. Things that you will learn next time you go. Hopefully next year, if you can, folks. And are interested in different varying subjects. It's not just all UFO contact, but a lot of it is combined with higher consciousness, getting into meditative state, remote viewing, understanding how consciousness works, things like that. So I would really highly recommend it. You know, I think
I do too.
I think a lot of people are still a little afraid of what they're hearing or poo-pooing some of the news coming out from the Pentagon or the videos or whatever. And I'm a little concerned, and this is just me, about what are called false flag things happening with.
I've heard something about that. I don't know. I'm hoping not that, you know, that doesn't happen. We'll just have to see.
People. Let's not make it a scary, horrible thing. Let's baby step it into if it's really happening. Disclosure with the videos. What are these? Maybe there are people out there. And how could we be so arrogant to think that we're the only civilization in the galaxy that harbors life?
That would be scary if we were the only ones in the galaxy.
Right?
No, really, in the universe, my gosh, that's just scary thought. No, there's plenty of life, you know, out there, and, you know, they've been engaging with us down here. So I'm just going to keep doing what I'm doing.
That's what you need to do. And you help people so much. Also speaking about, you know, fear and possibility of people saying the religion is teaching us that these could be demons that are taking us away. You know, I recently met and spoke with a whistleblower, who you might say, who actually went to the Vatican. Mm-hmm. Our Pope says, God make all sentient beings.
That's okay.
There are many sentient beings, and we welcome knowing more about them.
Yeah.
I'm paraphrasing, but he did say, God made all sentient beings in the universe.
Why? Absolutely. I mean, because I read a couple articles very recently about some priest coming out, an exorcist priest coming out, saying that they're demons. I want to tell the audience out there that what people are experiencing with this has nothing to do with demons. If that were the case, I would not have exposed my family. Both my sons were little at the time when I started. I wouldn't have even touched this if I knew it was evil, it was demons. So I want to put that out there, because I was so angry when I read those articles.
Sure,
I think people, government, whoever it is, faction of the government, they want to keep people frightened and scared. That's how they control people.
Right.
But this has nothing to do with demons. I just want to put that out there.
Oh, exactly. And I think in the information that you're getting from people under hypnosis who have been traumatized by certain experiences, they would be talking about being seriously harmed, and you don't get that.
I'm not hearing that at all. Like I said, I would not, there's evil in the world, and there's no way I would have dedicated my life to something like that.
Right.
Would have kept it. I just would have kept it away. But no, this is totally different. You're totally different. And the Catholic Church they believe in alien life forms. They have their own, telescopes. What do you call it? I mean, they have their own, and they have believed this. They feel like God created all of us. Why wouldn't he create them?
Right.
Absolutely right.
Yes. No. And again, you hear from so many folks and people who you've worked with, I'm sure, many times, who have worked in certain underground facilities, and saying, you know what? They're just watching over us to see if we're going to completely annihilate ourselves with our nuclear. That's why they're showing up in so many of, you know, the military installations and shutting.
They have been concerned over the years about our nuclear weapons. And we're really stupid human beings, and, you know, playing with dangerous toys like that. So, yes, that's true. They've been very interested in what we're doing back in the 60s. When they turned off all the ICBMs and all those military installations.
That's right.
If that wasn't a blatant message, I don't know what is.
Yeah. Right. And it's happened all over the world, by the way. It's not just the United States. Yeah. All over the world. So anyway, I think I do think that they're keeping, the United States is keeping a lot of the information close to their chest in terms of revealing UAP information or UFO information, because of, you know, they're kind of being careful about what they expose in terms of technology that's way beyond our comprehension to the Chinese or Russians or whatever. So, I mean, I understand that, military secrets and anyway, I just thought I'd throw that out there. We're just about out of time, but what I would love to do is have you tell people the best way to get your books, and again, mention your brand new book and your other books as well.
Yeah, my books are all on Amazon. They're live on Amazon now. This is the latest, the Ciro book, which is written by several of my support group members. So very important for the public to
Yes.
read about what they've gone through. That this is on live on Amazon now, and you could visit my website, hypnotherapistyvonnesmith.com. My questionnaires are there. Email me with any questions. I try to get back to everybody the same day if it's not too crazy. But yeah, you're welcome. Anyone is welcome to email me. I know that people probably have lots of questions out there. So
exactly. And on Amazon, if you're looking for her other books, just plug in Yvonne Smith books and they're all there and they're fascinating.
Yes, thank you so much. Yes, thank you.
We just touched the surface today. Great information, Yvonne. Thank you so much for being here on my couch on LA Talk Radio today.
Yes, thank you for having me, Michelle. You have a blessed day. And everybody else.
Thank you so much. Take care now.
Take care. Okay, bye-bye.
Bye-bye now. All right, folks. Thanks for joining me. If you have any questions, reach out straighttalkdoc@gmail.com. Love to hear from you. Whatever. No judgment at all. Thanks for joining me. And as I always say, take care of yourself, please. And then you'll be great for other people to help them. Have a good one. And thanks for being on the couch.
You're listening to On the Couch with Dr. Michelle, right here on LA Talk Radio.